Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 will be there in verse 1. Now would you please stand for the reading of God's word? In verse 1 it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door open upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest."
Thank you, Michael, for reading the scriptures tonight. Our study tonight is entitled, The Importance of a Heavenly Line of Credit. You know, it's important to have good credit. My parents believed that, and when I was a young man, they helped me get started on building up my credit by helping me get my first credit card. Now, that's can be a two-edged sword, but it's something that allowed me to get started building a credit. Of course, they told me to use it only for certain things and to pay it off each month and to build up a good credit rating. My daughter recently got a credit card for herself, and all of $500 limit on that, and to help build up some credit for herself as well. And of course, what advice do you give to your child when they get a credit card? Pay it off every month, amen? Pay it off every month. Don't go off to college and say, hey, let's all go to McDonald's. Oh, my treat. Here, I got my card. No, you use it to buy small things and gas for your car and things like that, and you pay it off on time. And so it's important to have a good line of credit. I had a pastor call me just a few months ago asking me for advice on a business credit card for his church. And he said, our offerings are fine, but sometimes we have low weeks and just trying to balance it all out. And so he decided to get a business credit card so he can pay it off once a month and have some flexibility. And so an earthly line of credit can be a helpful thing if done properly. Our church has had to deal with creditors since we started, with loans and refinancing, because we got this property first when we started 16 years ago, and we had to finance that. And it would have been nice if we had $200,000 laying around, but none of you admitted if you did or not. And so we financed and have since refinanced and done a lot of things on the property, all on credit. Never missed a payment, never laid on a payment. Amen. And always on time, always just like clockwork. And we owe about $143,000 right now, so if any of you have that laying around, or if you haven't tithed in 40 years and want to pay up on your back tithes, or if there's an eccentric millionaire listening to this online. By the way, so folks do actually do listen to our sermons online. I had a man email me Monday. So I work on Sundays, but I listened to your sermon from last Wednesday about satanic hindrances to the church, and he said a lot of it really hit home with me. And so if there's an eccentric millionaire out there listening to this sermon online, don't leave it to your cat. Amen. Or leave the cat to us. We'll take care of it. You know? But I'm just pointing out that it can be a good thing to have a line of credit on earth unless you don't pay or can't pay. And then the creditors come. I also want to point out the importance in this message tonight of having a heavenly line of credit, which we're also going to see in this story of this young widow surrounded by creditors. Now, to set the background, when the prophet Elijah was translated to heaven without dying and carried off by a whirlwind into the presence of God, the mantle of prophetic authority and leadership fell under the shoulders of his servant, the prophet Elisha. With that mantle of authority came the responsibility of leading and training a certain group of men called the sons of the prophets. Now, I believe that was an early version of a Bible college, that these men in northern Israel at that time, a land of Baalism and golden calf worship, these men had been called of God. They were being trained under Elijah and then Elisha. And certainly no one better to train preachers than preachers. And I think that carries over into our Bible colleges of today. And we have a young man. He was a son of the prophet. He still had two sons at home. Couldn't have been very old. And he was a son of the prophet. Perhaps he was in college. Perhaps he was just a young preacher. And that was the term that was used for the young preachers of that time. And he up and died. Very inconsiderate. Amen. Isn't that something? You can't plan some things. And this young man, he died, leaving his wife and sons in debt and in a financial crisis. But she soon found out that he had a heavenly line of credit that she did not know about that got her through this time of crisis. I want you to consider four words in our Bible study tonight. And the first word is trouble. Trouble. The widow of this preacher came to the man of God with a tremendous problem. She said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Now, this son of the prophet had run up some debts, possibly while he was in training. And as someone who is a veteran of Bible college, I can say that that is not hard to do. And especially if you have a family. Now, I was thinking back today to, my wife and I got married after my first year of college. And so we, paid our own way, got scholarships, things like that. And I just remember one thing always comes to mind when I think about Bible college, and that was macaroni and cheese. My wife has so many ways she can make macaroni and cheese. And I mean, it was like 50 cents a box, the cheap stuff. And she'd mix it up. And I mean, we put barbecue sauce in it. We put hot sauce in it. She'd mix ground beef into it. And, and I'd go to work with a bag that had a Tupperware thing of macaroni and cheese. It seemed like a lot of macaroni and cheese. But you know what? I still like it. Amen? And so it's not hard to understand that this guy might have had some hard times because of his training. But it also could have been because there had been a famine in the land that perhaps had hurt him financially. Perhaps there had been a long sickness and that had drained their finances. Perhaps he had just fallen behind. He got laid off or because of his stand for God had lost his income. So we can't assume too much. All we know is that they'd gotten into debt, and then he died, leaving his family in debt, and the creditors had come. Now, the creditors had the right, according to Jewish law at the time, to take the whole family as bond servants until the year of Jubilee to work off their debt. Couldn't just file bankruptcy in Bible times. And so she has some serious trouble. They had been serving the Lord. They had obviously had a family, but they'd had trouble, and then the unexpected happened. Don't you just hate the unexpected? It's hard to budget for the unexpected. But then the unexpected happened because this son of the prophets suddenly and unexpectedly die. Now, you and I might think, well, you know what, if I just serve the Lord and I do what's right, tragedy will not come to me. But that's not a biblical idea whatsoever. You and I can be serving the Lord, even be a son of the prophets, and even in a land of idolatry and wickedness, be doing the right things, and still tragedy comes and even death comes into our lives. In October, we'll be going to Midland and be preaching one night of a missions conference for Brother and Mrs. Foreman, and their daughter was in Bible college, not much older than my daughter Elizabeth, and up in Master's Bible College. I think it's in North Dakota. It's up north somewhere. Just at an activity with her boyfriend and chaperoned and everything, and they're on the back of a four-wheeler, and all of a sudden a tree limb falls right on them as they're driving down the road and kills both of them instantly. In Bible college, serving the Lord. So we must not think that tragedy cannot happen just because we're serving God. Although I do believe that we're much safer in the will of God than out of the will of God. But tragedy can sometimes come. Now, this young man had died. Maybe he's in his 30s. I always try to put skin on the Bible. In other words, I always try to think of these people and try to put them in terms that we understand. And he's got two sons at home still. And they're not grown men. Maybe he's in his 30s. Maybe he's in his early 40s. And suddenly he dies and leaves a widow and sons to face the creditors, and they have come to collect their debts. Now, this man didn't have life insurance. I don't know if they had life insurance back then, but I'll say this. And I've said before, I'm not an insurance salesman, but I firmly believe everyone ought to have some life insurance. I've seen too many funerals where people couldn't even, I mean, they struggled just to have a funeral because there was no life insurance. And I'm not criticizing or judging or anything whatsoever, but I am encouraging folks to think about the future. By the way, one of the rules to marry my children, and I've announced this recently, is any guy that wants to marry my daughter has to have life insurance first. See, why? They'll be in their 20s. You don't think people don't die in their 20s? You think I want my daughter at 26, 27, maybe with a child or two, to suddenly be left without any income, be left destitute? No. When you're young, you can get insurance cheap. Less than you spend on Starbucks every month. And to protect yourself, and when my son wants to get married, he has to have life insurance, because I don't want my daughter-in-law to be left behind without something if some tragedy were to happen. You see, we've got to think about the future sometimes. But, you know, this man died and they had nothing. They didn't have anything of value to sell in their house. The creditors didn't come and say, you know what, I'll take this and I'll take that and I'll take your stuff. It wasn't that this young man had filled his house with iPods and iPads and big screen televisions and stuff that had put him in debt and which they could now take back. She didn't have anything except a little pot of oil. And so this preacher had fallen on hard times. He died. He left his family in debt. And the creditors came, but there was nothing to take except the family itself. So we see trouble. I think we would all agree this is trouble with a capital T. Now notice, secondly, testimony. Testimony. Verse 1, she came to Elisha and she said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come." All right, once again, a trouble sandwich. My husband is dead, the creditors are come. Bookends of trouble. But she said, "But here is my husband's testimony." She said, "He was thy servant." He was thy servant. This is a man who served the Lord by serving Elisha, just as Elisha had served the Lord by serving Elijah, even washing his hands, pouring water upon his hands. And so he had the testimony first. He was thy servant. He was someone who served God. He was someone who served, if we put it in our terms, here's a man that was serving in his church. Here's a man that was serving God by helping out and doing things for God. And she said, "Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." That was his testimony. "Thy servant, and you know he feared the Lord." Now this was the time when Ahab and Hillary were running the show. I'm sorry, Ahab and Jezebel were running the show. And the whole country had gone after Baal, the lowest of the Canaanite gods. They were worshiping Ashtoreth. They were worshiping the gods of the Canaanites. And in the northern kingdom, they were even worshiping the two golden calves that Jeroboam had set up. And it had been going on for quite some time. And here was one of these men, was one of the 7,000 Elijah heard about, that had not bowed his knee and had not worshipped Baal, but had stood for the Lord God. And because of that, he was marked as one who feared the Lord. He served the Lord. He identified with the Lord. He did not go with the flow. He did not worship Baal, but rather he had a testimony that he feared God and served God. So here's a man who had lousy credit with man, but he had good credit with God. How's your testimony? I put myself in this story and I asked myself, if this was my wife and she went to some elder man of God that we've known, what testimony would I have? Would my wife be able to go to some of the older preachers we know and say, "You know my husband. You know that he feared the Lord and served the Lord"? Would I have a heavenly standing? Would I have a good line of credit in heaven if some tragedy were to take place? Could my wife get prayers answered or needs met based on my testimony for Jesus Christ? Hey, when trouble comes and the unexpected comes, will you have the right connections, especially some heavenly connections? Something to think about. This preacher's wife was between a rock and a hard place. She and her husband had a testimony and a line of credit, both with Elisha and with the God of Elisha. Now, I've had the joy of working with banks several times. When our church was 10 months old, we got our first loan, which took an act of God, and nothing less than an act of God. And I was amazed the first time I went to get a business church loan at the forms they gave me and the application that had to be filled out. And I've had to do it, I think, 3 times, maybe 4 times since then. And I remember, you know, the thing was, it was like a little book. They wanted to know all of our income, offering numbers. They wanted to know all of our members. They want to know how old and young our members were, their ages. They want to know how many were families or single. They wanted to know what our expenses were. They wanted to know what our budget was. They wanted to be able to see who our who was giving consistently. They wanted to see the appraisal value of the property. They had all these things. And that I don't remember all the stuff that was necessary. But they wanted to make sure before they loaned, and I sat across from the guy. He said he was Southern Baptist. He had cigarettes rolled up in his shirt. I always thought that was funny. No, they were in his pocket. They don't do that anymore. But and he said, you know, we don't like dealing with churches. I said, how come? He said, because no one wants to foreclose on a church if things go belly up. And so I had to learn some lessons on that. But we've gotten the loans every time and refinanced every time because we had the information. We showed that we take care of business properly. But the point I'm making is that when you have if you want to have an earthly line of credit, you've got to show that you take care of your business. And if you want to have a heavenly line of credit, do you think that God doesn't pay attention to what we're doing in this life? Then when we go to God in prayer, He pays no attention to what we've done each and every day. Whether we love Him, whether we fear Him, whether we serve Him. That God doesn't pay any attention to whether we tithe or give or go or help or anything. See, what I find in the Bible is that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God says, when I have given, God will give back to me. But what is my heavenly testimony? One of the reasons I believe we ought to live righteously is so we can get our prayers answered. Amen. You say, but none of us are righteous outside of Christ. Yes, none of us can be, we're all sinners. None of us have righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that a saved person can't live righteously. And when you live righteously, I believe that it impacts whether your prayers are answered or not. Hey, when was the last time you had a prayer answered? I mean, are the only prayers answered in your life what other people pray for you? Or have you had an answer to your prayers? It may be because we don't have enough heavenly credit to get our prayers answered and our needs met when we have them. What is my heavenly testimony? Am I faithful? Am I putting God first and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Am I stealing my tithes or offerings? Am I doing the will of God for my life? Am I doing anything that tries to keep people out of hell when they die? Am I right with others? Am I separated from the world? Am I right with my church? Am I right with my pastor? Am I living in sin? You see, these are all important things. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. This man had creditor problems, but he didn't have a problem with a heavenly line of credit. And his wife tapped into that, and she got her needs met because he, and both of them together, had lived faithfully prior to his death. Well, let's look at a third thought, and that is the word testing. Testing. Verse 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou not in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything. That's how sometimes we look at it. I don't have anything save a pot of oil. He said, oh, you got a pot of oil? Yes, I have one pot of oil. That's all I have left. You say, well, I don't have anything God can use. You don't have anything? Nothing at all? Well, I have this, but it's not much. Oh, you got that. Okay. Let's work with that. Huh? Well, I can't get around like you used to. Well, can you be friendly and smile and talk to someone and be an encouragement to someone? Hey, that's sometimes in short supply. And so I can't do what someone else can do. Well, do you have a little pot of oil? Then you got something. And Elisha said, oh, that's something. Let's work with that. And verse number 3, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. All right, can you imagine her and her sons going from house to house? Who's out there? Well, that's Joyce. What's Joyce want? You got any empty vessels I can borrow? Well, what kind? Any you got? Well, I mean, I got this old milk cart and I was about to throw away. I'll take it. Goes in the cart. Goes to the next house. Hey, it's me, Joyce. I just need an empty vessel. Well, I got a dog bowl. I'll take it. Takes the dog bowl. Next house. Well, my kids just ate all the ice cream again. And so I got this empty gallon container. I'll take it. And she takes everything she can get and she comes back with the trunk of her car, obviously full of empty vessels, milk bottles, and ice cream containers, and empty bowls, and Tupperware, and everything she can find. All this variety of whatever can hold something, an empty vessel. And then he said in verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. He brought the vessels into her, and she poured out. So can you just picture in your mind? I mean, she's got this little thing of oil. Now, don't think of black motor oil. This is olive oil. And she pours out the olive oil, and you know, one container after the other, and she keeps pouring it, and it doesn't empty. Keeps pouring it, and it's still something in it. Keeps pouring it until all of those vessels are full, and she still has what she started with. And then the oil stayed, or it stopped, when she ran out of vessels. And so some strange instructions, but she followed them. You know, sometimes people come to preachers for advice, but the only advice I can really give you is Scripture. Sometimes people don't want the Scriptures. Well, preacher, I don't think I can obey the Lord on that. What do you expect me to say? I can't say, well, the Lord pardon thee. You know, I can't say, I don't have the authority to say that. All I have the authority is to tell you what the Word of God says. And I might have a little bit of advice. I have lived a little while. Amen. I am middle-aged now. Had a little life experience. And so I might give some advice. But when it comes to the Word of God, I don't have the right to tell anyone to go against what the Scripture says. And so she came to Elisha, and Elisha gave her some strange advice. And sometimes what the Bible tells us is some strange advice because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so she had to obey the Lord and follow this strange advice and obey Him by faith. And sometimes we've got to go borrow some vessels and fill them up and follow some strange advice to find out what God wants to do. And she did. But you know what? And by the way, Elisha couldn't do it for her. Sometimes when you want God's blessings, you've got to go get them. People can do all kinds of things for you. We can give you money. We can give you stuff. We can give you opportunities. But no one can give you God's blessing. You either got it or you don't. And we've got to go out and get God's blessing. Don't you know when she poured out that last, filled up that last 5-gallon bucket she borrowed? And she said, aren't there any other vessels? That's it. Man, I knew I should have went and got a few more. Sometimes we stop short. And instead of following through all the way, we end up costing ourselves. You see, this was a test. Elisha didn't have the money in his pocket. He wasn't her source of supply, and neither is any other preacher. God is to be our source of supply. We want men to meet our needs when God the Father is to be the source of our supplies. She followed instructions that did not make sense. She bore the embarrassment of asking people for vessels. Why do you need all these vessels, Joyce? I don't know. A preacher told me to get some. Can I borrow some more? And she took the embarrassment of that, following instructions that didn't make sense. She trusted and obeyed. She had to do it herself. And when she followed God's instructions, guess what happened? Amazing things. Folks, it's not normal to pour stuff out and just keep refilling itself. Would it be nice if your bank account did that? You see, we've got to learn that in times of trouble and in times of testing, that we simply need to obey what the Bible says. And sooner or later, you're going to find yourself in a trouble sandwich, like she did. My husband is dead. The creditors have come. And you're going to have to ask yourself, am I going to trust God and obey Him during this time also? Or am I going to take matters in my own hands and do things my way? She trusted and obeyed. And that brings us to the fourth word, and that is triumph. Verse 7. She came and told the man of God. I bet she was jumping up and down, don't you? He said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Enough to pay off the creditors and enough for her and her children to live until they got back on their feet. That's a pretty big blessing, amen? She sold the oil, she paid the debt, she had enough to live off and support her family. You know, you never go wrong following the will of God. You never do. You may go through some tough times, but you'll never go wrong following the will of God. How's your heavenly line of credit? Have you put anything in? Have you laid any treasures up in heaven? Are you fearing the Lord? Do you have a good heavenly credit rate? When trouble comes and there's no human solution, do you have an open line that you can access because you've lived for the Lord and feared the Lord and served the Lord?